This morning, if you have your Bibles or devices, let's turn those on. Let's make it really, really easy for us. Let's go to the very first book of the Bible. We're in Genesis chapter 1 this morning. And speaking about water baptism, let's just ask the quick question so I make sure I'm preaching to people that need to be water baptized. Who has been water baptized, like immersed in water at a church service and given their heart to swim in a lake or something? Yep. If you all put, there's a lot of people. So I don't know what I'm going to speak on now. I was worried about that, I thought. And if you've all been water baptized, then you don't need to hear this message. But maybe just for fun, at least I need to at least see one hand out there so I know I'm preaching to somebody. Who has not been water baptized? Okay, there's a few of us. Praise God. Amen. If you think about historically in your life, your history, events that you remember, you got married, you bought your first vehicle, you went to the movies for the first time, you found your first pine mushroom this past week, you know, those kind of important things in your life, when you got saved or you got graduated from something, historical moments, memories that you have inside of your mind. An event like a water baptism is one of those events. There's something that happens in the spiritual realm, and I'm going to show you in the Bible why it's so, so important. There's just this, there's an emotion, there's a physical change in you, and it's very, very crucial. And you'll be able to look back on that moment and say, wow, that's when something really happened for me. So, let's lay a foundation this morning about water. So, in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face, the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over waters. Right in Genesis, the very first chapter. Let's flip to the very last book of the Bible so we can see that from the very front to the very back, we're in Revelation chapter 22. Verse 17, there is only 21 verses in verse 22 and verse 17, almost one of the last things that we're able to read about, God is able to share and encourage us towards. We read this in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift. There's a free gift of the water of life. So we see from the very first verses to the very last verses, depending upon which translation you read, mine's NIV, you might have NLT, you might have all kinds of different translations, the word water comes up in this book 600 or 700 times. There's a significance of water for many, many reasons. Did you know that faith is pretty important, isn't it? But water comes up more times than faith, more times than hope, more times than prayer, and more times than worship. Wow! There's got to be some real value with water. So we want to just start looking at scriptures this morning that speak about water. So let's look at what it says about being water baptized. Where's some scriptures in the book of Acts? We know some wonderful stories here. Acts chapter 2. It says this in verse 38. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. I love that part of it. You know, be baptized if you're good. Be baptized maybe if you're a certain age. Be baptized if you're financially stable and secure and you have a job or a nice vehicle. It doesn't say any of that. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what will happen. So this is a story which is so important to us that this is the foundation of the church. God's laying a foundation of how we should do church, and Peter is speaking to thousands of people, almost like what we're doing right now. There's thousands of us here, right? But what's happening is, though, from all different walks of life, from the known world at the time, people are coming to Jerusalem. And they're there listening to what Peter has to say. Different cultures, different languages, farmers, businessmen, it didn't matter. All walks of, seniors to young children, they're all listening to what he's saying. It says, every one of you. Isn't that wonderful to know that God's not selective? He's not, you know, it's for all of us, and it's for everyone to be water baptized. And when we look further, we go just a little bit deeper into this, we look at the word baptism. Well, what does that word mean? In the original Greek language, because Jesus didn't speak English, just so we're clear on that, this was written in Greek. And the word in Greek is baptizo. So it's baptism. It basically is taken off the last part and putting an O at the end. Baptism. The word means immersion. The word means submersion. It means to wash or to make clean with water. That's what the original word meant. So to be water baptized is to be submerged, to be cleansed with water. We see that. Let me just give you two non-biblical examples. Let me just speak to this, because I know there's some people that can resonate with this morning. You take your garden vegetables, and you can them, and you put them in vinegar, and they change. So you take something, and you put it through a process of either you're boiling your vegetable in hot water before you are to can it, or you take your canned vegetable, and you put the can in boiling water. You submerge it. And there's something that happens. Something changes. So an example for me is when I, you know, back in 2000, I got saved. Before I was water baptized, there's a picture of me. There's a picture of me. You're looking at me today. Is there anything different besides my gray hair and my wrinkles and, you know, all these other kind of things that are going on that are a little different than, you know, back when I was 20? There is nothing different, is there? But something internally is very different. I can tell you that much, and I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute. So if you take a vegetable, and I was to give you, just using the example as a pickle, you know, and a cucumber before it is pickleized, or whatever you want to say. You know, if I was to give those to you to the blind contest, you know, pickle, just the regular pickle. It tastes like a pickle. It's very, very, vinegary. And you take the cucumber before it's pickleized, and you just taste that. It's very obvious, isn't it? There's something radically different. And isn't that, it even goes a bit further than that, because when you take your cucumber and you make it a pickle, it can't go back. You can't unpickleize the thing. Do you understand that? You can't go back to the cucumber anymore. It's done. It's hooped. It's been boiled and vinegar and canned. It's irreversible. Do you get that? When you get water baptized, the old you is dead. The old you has changed. You don't look any different. I mean, maybe some of us are hoping, like, oh, please let me come out of the water with just, you know, this change in my physical or something, right? You may desire that, but it's internal. It's spiritual. Something happens in there. Yes, it's so good. I love it. The same example is when you're doing the dishes. You got some dirty dishes. It's got the leftovers. It's got all these kind of things hardening on there, and you get it into the water. Get her in the water, woo, you know, get it all clean, and you take it out, and now it's clean. You cannot go back to the water and start pulling out the dirt of the water to put it back on the plate, can you? It is now clean. And for those of us that have 4 children, every dish in a 24-hour period gets dirty for some reason, and there's constantly dirty. And by the end of that, you know, the water, it's so dirty. You're thinking, oh my gosh, I got to drain that. You got to get some new water because there's so much dirt in that water. That's just like you and I. I don't know how dirty and filthy and sinful you feel, but when you get in the water, become pure as white as snow, all cleansed away. And you can't go back in the water and put on your sin and your hurt and your shame and all that kind of stuff that makes you feel that way. You can't take it back because God cleanses you of that. You need to know that. Some of us have been saved. You've walked through life. And there's a point where you need to get water baptized to take the next step, in a sense. Take the next step towards Christ. Okay. Now, getting back to some scriptures, let's get into the book of Exodus. Let's look in the Old Testament, and then we'll look in the New Testament for some examples of water baptism. When I read this, and somebody taught me this, it absolutely changed my life. I was water baptized, and I was living my life out, and then somebody taught me this story, and I thought, That's why it's so different. Now it makes so much sense. So let's jump into the story. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, and just laying a quick foundation of that story. You've got a Pharaoh who's a great king. He's over a great kingdom. He has many people. He has all these slaves. The Israelite people were all the slaves. They were building and working for him. And then God calls out Moses and Aaron, right? Go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. You can visualize the story. You've seen the Sunday school. You've seen the cartoon. You've seen the VeggieTales. Let him go. And Pharaoh's like, hard heart, no way, no way. And right, all of a sudden there's plagues and famines. And finally Pharaoh's like, you're trashing my whole land. You got to get out of here. He basically releases them. The Israelites are like, praise God. And then there's a great ocean. There's the, not an ocean, sorry, a sea. There's the Red Sea. They're thinking, oh man. You know, there's like a million of us. And I just see there's a one canoe. You know, it's going to be a lot of trips back and forth to get us there. So we're hooped, you know, what's going to happen? We're going to run out of food. They turn around, and at that point, Pharaoh and his army are like, that was a mistake. Let's go kill those guys. So Pharaoh's coming, and there's a sea. And this is the situation that we face here. So we jump into verse 13 here. It says, and Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. I would be deathly afraid at that point. I can't swim that far. And there's like a whole bunch of guys with a lot of bows and arrows and, you know, shotguns and that kind of stuff. We're in trouble. I'm very afraid. Stand firm, he says, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never, never see again. Whoa, that's so good. The Lord will fight for you, and you only need to be still. I love the fact that when we read scripture, he's saying that you're never going to see that again. You see all that scariness, all that worry and fear. I'm going to take all of it away. Whew, I need to hear that this morning because I've dealt with it on the cross. And it says here, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. You only need to be still in his presence. So often we just get so busy and consumed with everything that's going on, but really we're dying on the inside. We're facing a sea that seems insurmountable or a mountain that's insurmountable. And when we look behind us, we think, look at my past and look what I'm facing. I'm hooped. I have no chance. And this is what God is trying to teach us here. Just be still. Trust in me. I've dealt with it on the cross. You know, I'll fight for you. Then watch what he says here in verse 16. He goes on to say this. Raise your staff, he's telling to Moses, and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. See, God is calling the people to, let's get into the water. Let's go through the water. That's our job. Our job is to get into the water. Our job is to not fight against those things. Our job is to not worry about our past. Our job is to get into the water, and God will do the rest. Those things are going to die. They're going to come to an end when we get into the water. The things that we're facing, the things that we're trying to fight in our own, God is saying, give them to me and watch what happens. So they go into the water. And the things that are about to take place, if you think about the rest of the story, they go through the water. They're praising God on the other side for the victory. They turn around to see their past, right? Those guys have been their masters forever. Those guys are coming to get them. Those guys are about to take them out. And this is what the word says here in verse 25. It says, he made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. And think about the first thought here. The wheels come off. Whatever's going on that's challenging and hard for you, or the past keeps kind of just, it's like a trailer. It's following you everywhere you go. And God is saying the wheels are going to come off of those things, and they're going to crash and burn. They're not going to follow you anymore. They're not going to be a part of you. They won't be attached to you anymore, is what the Lord is saying. And it also says that they're going to die. They're going to come to an end because the Lord is fighting for you. The Lord is fighting for you. As we put our focus on the Lord and we do what he says and we listen to what he asks of us, everything else is taken care of. And sometimes that's hard to believe and sometimes that's hard to see. There's a wonderful imagery I have in my mind. in Whitehorse, where I was for so many years, near Atlin, BC, there's what they call Atlin Lake. There's Little Atlin Lake, and then there's, they just call it Atlin, but it's like Big Atlin Lake. And the camp that we used to run, it looked over this beautiful lake, and then there was a huge mountain. It was called Mount Minto. And we would do baptisms in there, just hundreds and thousands of baptisms in there. And a good friend of ours, Pastor Ben Pantoja, he's an associate pastor in Vancouver in the Burnaby area. He came up, he was Filipino, we had a Filipino retreat, and the food was so good, you know. But at the end of the weekend, we had a baptism, and you're standing there on this beach, and there's Pastor Ben baptizing these Filipinos, and you got Mount Minto. I'm thinking, this must be like heaven, you know, it's just an amazing experience. And as he's baptizing them, he's saying things like this. He's saying to them, he's saying, you know, in Jesus' name, I got to make sure I get this right though, die to your ways, and then he would put them in the water, and he'd pull them back out so they could hear, and they would say, live for Christ. Die to your ways, your past, and live for Christ. I have here my baptism certificate, and this says it like this. So this is the Apostolic Church of Pentecost of Canada. That's the church that I originally went to in Nanaimo on Hammond Bay Road. You come take the ferry over Hammond Bay Road. There was a church just right near the water. It was the coolest church because for whatever reason, when you stepped on the church grounds, you had no cell service. And you went on the street, you had cell service. It was, I don't know, it was just this kind of this void, this hole there in that church. It was just an anointed place. And it says this, buried with him in the likeness of his death and raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection. See, there's something that really happens spiritually. We're buried with Christ like he died on the cross for our sins. And we're raised to life just like he was raised to life. Because when you and I walk around and we receive Jesus, we receive grace and salvation, Jesus took care of everything on the cross for us. But what we do, it's almost like communion. We remember. It's almost like we get baptized. We remember what he died for. And I don't know about you. When I was water baptized, I told the pastor, I said, hold me down just a little bit longer. And give me a good shake. Get it all out. You know, that water's going to turn black. You know, it's going to be bad. I got to deal with all that stuff. And then, you know, don't forget to bring me back out because I don't want to see him too soon. But it was just this, you know, memorable, memorable moment. And we'll have fun here. Let's see if I don't fall and hurt myself this morning. But I wanted to bring out the tank so you understood what we were going to do. This is in two Sundays from now. And I even have a little sign-up sheet. So if for those that are here this morning that haven't been water baptized, I want to encourage you, like, fill it out. Give me your phone number. I'd love to just quickly meet with you, and we'll talk about it. But here we go. Like, you'll do this. You'll get in. Ooh, there's even a little spotlight that comes on for you. You'll get in the tank, and you'll get down here. And there's even a little seat. Like, look how comfortable this is. Like, Usually I'm used to, like, up north, we chainsaw holes in the ice in the shape of a cross, and we baptize people. Like, it's a short testimony, I can tell you that much. But here, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be all heated up, Chris said, like a hot tub. Like, this is too easy, you know? So anyways, you'll come sit here, and then I'll be out there somewhere, and if you feel comfortable, you will share your testimony, like how you came to faith, how you gave your life to Jesus, and you want to take the next step, and we'll water baptize you, and you'll go down. And depends how bad you are, we'll bring you down again, you know, just really get it out of you. But if you don't feel comfortable, this is, I wish we had this live on video, right? People would be like, where is that guy, you know? But you might not feel comfortable, and I'll share your testimony for you. I don't want you to let this be a hindrance, right? You don't want to be like, oh my gosh, like, you want to hide, right? Like, it's okay, we'll make sure whatever we need to do to make it comfortable for you, but I think it's very important you get water baptized. It's a great step in your Christian walk, in your Christian faith, to get water baptized. But do you see in that story how a million people had, you know, they had been in slavery and bondage for hundreds and hundreds of years. And all that shame and guilt of just being an oppressed people, how they had walked through the sea and all of a sudden they were set free just in that moment. They walked through that sea and their lives were wrecked. They couldn't go back. They could never go back. There's a big sea there again, and God wasn't going to open up the sea again for them to go back. He was like, you're done. It's in the past. We're moving forward now. I don't know where you're at in your life, but I need those moments where I'm like, I'm moving forward. I'm getting closer to Christ. I'm dealing with more of my stuff because I want to be free of it. I don't want to be stuck in bondage. I don't want to keep stumbling on the same things because, it feels like there's something. There's, you know, the wheels just seem to keep following you, all that stuff. And a trailer can hold a lot of things, we know. It's all coming with you, but you got to break it off. You got to shake it off in Jesus' name. Let's look at some New Testament stories about water baptism. So let's flip to the book of Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 and 38, as they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. The story here is Philip is just kind of walking along the road, and a eunuch, an Ethiopian, rides by in a chariot, and God puts a burden on his heart saying, go and sit with that gentleman. Go and share the gospel with that gentleman. Go and tell him about what he's reading in the scriptures. And Philip, who, the Ethiopian or the eunuch, we're not given much information about him. We don't know that, you know, if he was Christian or thinking about it, or maybe he just got saved, or, you know, it says here, though, that in that moment, as the scriptures were revealed to him, he was obedient to the scriptures and he was water baptized. He says, well, I believe in Jesus. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And they just come along a puddle or something like, hey, there we go. You know, let's just jump in there and get her done, right? There was no hesitation. He just got saved. I believe in Jesus and got into the water. What a great story. Let's look at another New Testament story here. So in Matthew chapter 3, this one's easy for me to find because my Bible is all like mangled because I shared this scripture which I'm about to read to you to someone and we filled the tank up too much and the water went out and went all over my Bible. My Bible soaked and the pages never go back to the normal, do they? They're all kind of mangled up. So Matthew chapter 3, because this is the most important scripture there is on water baptism. Here we go. So John the Baptist here is baptizing people for repentance. He's out in the wilderness. People are coming to him saying, I need to repent of my sins. I'm a sinner. I need to be water baptized. And John's doing this. And then he says these things in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 3. It says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Woo! That's exciting. Amen. That's wonderful to know. Amen. It goes on to say this in verse 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and I'm very well pleased with. There's not very many scriptures in the whole Bible where we see the triune Godhead. I'll speak about another one next month. It's a brilliant story. But where we see the triune Godhead, we see God in three parts here. It puts to shame any other theories or ideas about God. God is three persons. We see here the Spirit of God comes from heaven, the Spirit of God. It says like a dove. It's not a dove. I mean, the imagery is there. It's fun to think about. But just the Spirit of God, and people said, how can I put that into words so that we could understand? It's just the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. God in the Holy Spirit form comes down and sits on Jesus. We hear a voice from heaven at the same time. God the Father in heaven, is speaking out loud. We see that. And we also see that there's the Son. There's Jesus Christ, God the Son, Jesus Christ in the water. The triune Godhead at this moment in the Bible. Amen. We need to take notice of that. Because there's only a few times we get to see that together. And I'll show you another time because it's just sprinkled in there a few times. And when we see it, what is going on here? Why is that taking place right there? There's this moment right there where Jesus is doing what God has asked him to do as an example for you and I. If we want to be like Christ and mirror like Jesus Christ, this is a pinnacle moment right here. This is a date on the calendar they'll never forget. This is very, very important for you and I to be able to get baptized. We get saved, we get baptized, we mirror Jesus. Why this is so important for you and I, I'll give you my story. Lots of us have hands up. Lots of us could share stories. But I want to give you my personal story around this, why it's so important to me. When I got saved, it was New Year's 2000. I've shared that quite often. And it was 7 months later, in July, I was water baptized. So when I got saved at New Year's 2000, I tell you, man, the presence of God was heavy on my life. The Holy Spirit came in. I was cold turkey to quite a lot of stuff. I had the ability now. I had the power and the authority, in a sense, in my life that I didn't have on my own. Have you ever tried to stop doing something? Then you keep falling back into it, don't you? Because you cannot do it on your own. But the presence of God came into me, and I was absolutely radically set free of things that I couldn't get set free for 23 years of my life. Boom, cold turkey. But there was still a big old wagon, a big old caboose, you know, trailer full of garbage that was just dragging itself along with me. And I would think about it. I would be reminded of it. I just felt like the enemy, Satan, would just hit a play button in my brain about everything that I had done in the past. I thought, whoa, man, I got to get free of this. How do I get, just wrestling through that. And all of a sudden, one day, I got water baptized. I said, okay, you know, the preacher preached the sermon about water baptism. I need that. You know, let's take the next step, right? So I get in the water, and then, you know, he gives me a good shake and come out of the water. And I tell you, when it says here in the scriptures, it's so easy to remember this, 3:16. We know so many great verses around that, but not John 3:16. Luke 3:16. Hopefully that resonates with you, because it's a wonderful verse that you need to just take to the bank. So in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, we read one very similar to it in Matthew, but here in Luke, because again, it's really helpful for me to see these things. So in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, we read this thing. It says, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come. The thongs or the sandals of those I'm not worthy to untie will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I mean, I tell you, when I was water baptized, I came out of the water, there was just some fire inside of my belly. I just wanted to read the word. I just wanted to get into his presence. I wanted to just humble myself around him. I was just radically set free of so much of my past. Now, there's still pieces of it, but I tell you, in that moment, there was just this anointing that just came on me. And I didn't see any of the Holy Spirit come down, and there wasn't anything visual like that, but I tell you, inside of me, there was something going on, something very visible that I could never go back to again. God just took care of business. He took care of me and took care of that situation. And I just give you, to me, it seems like a simple message around water baptism. We've only pulled out a few scriptures, and we'll do it every year. I hope you sense as a church that, you know, since my arrival, we've talked about just the value of the Bible. And we've blown the Bible budget out of the water. Praise God. And we just want to give you the Word of God. And if you're here this morning, you don't have a Bible, maybe you're new and you didn't know this as a church, we give these away. Just take the Bible, take the Word of God with you. I hope you've sensed that we need to pray. Just pray, pray, pray. There's so much we need to pray about or into. Just pray about it. And I hope you sense as a church, we're just passionate about being sensitive to God's Holy Spirit as he leads and guides us. We just want to be sensitive to him. And in the same breath here, this message, it's got to be like one of the top 5 messages, top 3 messages you need to hear, and we need to talk about it every year, is water baptism. If you haven't taken that step, I really, really want to. I feel like a salesman up here. We'll throw in some knives, you know, like that kind of conversation. And if you do it, we'll give you 2 sets for your, I don't know, like, this is not a sales pitch, though, I promise you. It's a personal thing that I really encourage you that will make such a tremendous difference in your life. Would you agree with that? Have you experienced that? For those that raised their hand, have you really just sensed when you got water baptized, a radical transformation in your life, just life-changing moments? So like half the people are in agreement with that. So if you're here this morning, we'll make it as easy and as comfortable, you know, whatever we need to do to help you to do that. Don't walk away from here saying, you know, good message. And there's cake, actually, after this. You know, we've got some cake and cookies and coffee. Had some cake. It was good. please walk away here just feeling that burden, that heaviness in your heart. I need to get this done. Last sales pitch, done. Let me pray for you. Let's invite the worship team up as we close this morning. Father, this morning, as always, we're so refreshed by your word. God, we thank you for it. God, we don't deserve it, but you are so faithful. You're so loving. You're so kind. You're so full of mercy. So God, thank you for showing us how to live in this world. God, you walked it and you showed us how to do it. And we thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you're for us. God, I just thank you that you take care of the past. We don't need to worry about that. We're moving forward, moving closer to you. And God, we're excited about the days ahead. We're excited about what you're doing. Would you bless us in Jesus' precious name? Amen.